How do people get started? Where do they get stuck? Does their family really follow along when they want to get organized? Wouldn't you love to peek behind the curtain and see how other people in the 100-day program are actually getting their home organized? Well, that's what we're going to be doing from now on the Wednesday new Organize 365 podcast. I would love to introduce you to your fellow Organize 365 members that are on this home organization journey with you. Let's see how they have gone from disorganized to organized. We are going to talk to Holly Perez, which is one of our Sunday Basket Workshop certified organizers. Holly, welcome back to the Organize 365 podcast.
Well, thank you. I'm so honored to be a part of this.
I can't wait to dive more into your organizing journey. I know you are on another podcast episode, but we're really just going to dive into your organizational transformational story, which is so powerful and has a lot of different elements in it that I want to really dive into. So let's start with, how did you originally find me?
I was a new mom, a nursing and pumping mom, just in the break room, the pumping room of my corporation that I work for. And I was, you know, you can't really do very much while you're sitting there. So I found podcasts around that time. And at the same time, I was Googling how to get organized, how to organize cloth diapers, because I was doing that as a new mom as well. And my house was kind of in chaos. So that was what I was searching for. And I found your podcast. So then I went back to the beginning and binged everything. And it was at the time of the 40 weeks, one whole house challenge, which is what I really needed at that point, because it was my whole house that was in chaos.
Yeah. So this was before we'd come up with the 100-day home organization system and program. And I was really kind of testing out what I had done at my house. And you were kind of following along real time as I figured it out.
Yeah. 2015. I think it was a little later, but I went back and I really got caught up and binged everything.
So tell us, who lives in your house? Obviously, there's some kind of little one in there.
Yeah. First, my husband is my rock. He is so awesome. He's the cook in our family, much like Greg is. So his name is Artur, and I couldn't do it without him. I couldn't do life without him. So I really appreciate him. And then I've got my 5-year-old son, who is named Dimitri. And he loves life. He loves doing sports. He likes art. He likes singing and dancing. And he even likes organizing.
Oh, how sweet.
Some tip from me.
And I know you pretty well. So you have a 5-year-old son and he's in kindergarten, but the whole time that he's been little, you also have been working full time in a corporation, correct?
That's correct. Yes.
So you really juggle a lot because you also started a professional organization business as well in the last couple of years.
I didn't expect that, but I did.
Yeah. Do you ever sleep, Holly?
I do. I actually sleep quite a bit. I need to get my 8 hours at least in. Otherwise, I get sick. And I learned that the hard way over the past few years. So I'm really working on it and getting my sleep in right now. It's fantastic.
Yeah. So I just, this totally off script. Holly's like, oh no, what is she going to ask? Holly likes to be organized and prepared. But I mean, I know that there are other women out there that are your age and they have a child and they're working full time. And, you know, like, how do you do it all? Like, how are you doing it all?
Oh my gosh. I have to make compromises. You talk a lot about on your podcast how to give yourself grace. And I've really learned that from you and taken it to heart. It's super hard though. And I'm taking it one day at a time. Mm-hmm. I don't know how else to put it. I'm just, you know, I'm surviving at the same time as accumulating. And being organized really helps. Like having the Sunday basket, having those binders, it really helps. Like it just really works. It's all about control, really. It gives me a sense of control.
Because I see you balancing really big balls. You know, like I feel like we're all busy and we're all juggling a lot. But you're balancing really big balls, you know, like a young child, a full-time corporate job, a professional organization business that is thriving, your marriage, which is obviously super important to you, possibly moving in the new year. Those are pretty big balls that you are juggling. And if we take you back to 2015, do you feel like you've always been able to handle a lot? Do you feel like being organized has allowed you to do fewer things but bigger things? Like, you kind of have the ideal life that people want. They want to have, you know, their passion and their family and their career, and you have all of those things.
I try to focus on what's really important to me. I want to do things really efficiently with less work, you know. I'm kind of a questioner in that regard, and I do, I'm definitely a questioner. I like to customize things to really work for me, and problem solve. That's why it really fits to be a professional organizer, but I didn't always know that that was my skill set. I try to focus on the very important big rocks that are important to me. Mm-hmm. And I am always analyzing how to fit stuff in, but then, you know, I'm really working on downsizing my commitments, because I have a lot of ideas of what I could be doing. There's things that I, you know, I decide not to do. And for instance, the biggest one is hiring somebody to clean. Like, that was a big one for me.
Yeah.
I'm not particularly strong at cleaning. So yes, I started out by just hiring a person to come in one time for my son's first birthday. And that kind of was the starting point for me. And then eventually, like a year or two later, I hired somebody to come once a month. And that was huge because, you know, it's a monthly motivation to get things picked up and tidied and removed from the flat surfaces of the house. And just having it on the calendar is a way to motivate me to do that on a regular basis. And then I eventually moved to two times a month, and that's where I'm at currently. So that really works for me. It's huge.
So I think because you've come out to, so you're in Portland, Oregon, so you're far away. Yes. You've come to Cincinnati many times. You came for Embrace, right? You've come for the, you are a complete Sunday Basket retreat trained certified organizer. So you came for that. Seems to me you came for something else.
Oh yeah. There were three boot camps or something that I came to.
Yeah, you come to everything.
Like that.
Holly comes to everything with her backpack. She travels with a backpack. I still don't know how you do that. But you come to Cincinnati, and I would say the one thing that I've observed over the last, you know, 3 years of knowing you personally is how purposeful you are. And I think that that is something that sometimes gets overlooked in these interviews or as we're looking at people who are organized. People who are organized are not doing everything, or productive, I should say, aren't doing everything you're doing and more. They're very purposeful about what they are and they are not doing. And so then they're doing big rocks. Like, I love that you called them rocks. I said juggling larger balls. If you can do three or four big rocks, but then you can't do any pebbles and any sand. There's no time for pebbles and sand. And if you haven't heard this analogy, I think it's a TED talk or I heard it somewhere, where if you fill a mason jar and you have all these big rocks and pebbles and sand and water to put in, if you put the water in first and then the sand and then the pebbles, there's no room for the big rocks. But if you put the big rocks in first, then all of the rest will fit if you do it in reverse order so that everything can kind of sift into life. I think so often we're worrying about the sand and the pebbles that need to get done, the laundry and the dishes, and oh, I need to reply to this email, and I need to send out Christmas cards, I need to do all these little things, that at the end of the day, there's no time and energy for the big rocks. And observing you over the last couple of years, I noticed that you put everything into the big rocks, your marriage, your son, your career, and your professional organization business. And most of the rest either doesn't happen or happens only seasonally.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So now I'll go back to the regular script, but I just, because I know you personally, and I've watched you wrestle, like you really wrestled with if you were going to become retreat trained and if this was the right time in your life to do that and how you were going to do that. And you do such a good job of it. Like you have retreats that are on the calendar. You guys can go see her and sign up for her paper organizing retreats. If you're in the Northwest quadrant of the United States, go see Holly. She has regular Sunday basket workshops. She can help you get your binders done. So she didn't just become certified. She actually implemented and has those on the schedule. I love seeing that. Okay, so let's go all the way back. So here you are, you're pumping, you have this little baby. I think you were an organized person before you had a child, weren't you? Or were you not?
So I definitely grew up in a house that wasn't at all organized.
Oh.
Stuff was kind of, yeah, it was a little chaotic. I remember, I actually currently have dreams, a recurring dream of going back to my childhood home and organizing because now I know how to do it.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you weren't born organized. I thought you were.
No, not really.
Oh, my gosh, Holly. You're so organized to me.
I've learned from you, and I follow quite a few other organizers as well, just podcast. I like listening to audiobooks and podcasts and reading books and such. But yeah, I definitely was not born organized. I would say that I've always tried to be organized, and in school I was definitely organized. Like my friends know that I have the skills because of how they saw me at school, but at home not so much.
My room was always a mess. True. So many women say, I'm totally organized at work, but at home, it's like, it's not there. It's so much harder to be organized at home than in school or work or anything else that is more structured. All right. So
yes.
Now I'm really interested. I didn't realize that you didn't have the skills before because, Holly, you appear so organized and productive to me. And I think that's such a great testament. And so many people who go through the All Access program end up and they're like, so organized, they become professional organizers. You guys, it's like any other skill. Any skill you want to learn, this is a learnable skill. All right. So yes. Why did you decide to start getting organized?
What did I say for this? There could be
some. I've gone so off script. Holly's like, oh, we're doing the original interview now?
Well, it was all about the papers. So my son was little. There were so many papers in my house, and I didn't know where any of it was. I was fed up with the amount of paperwork that I had, and just belongings that I had because, you know, babies, they come with a lot of stuff, and I couldn't find anything. So our house was such a huge mess after having Dimitri. I didn't know how to deal with the amount of random stuff that we had accumulated after having him. So I started actually watching a few YouTube channels that you're probably aware of, Cass from Clutterbug, yeah. And I watched some stuff about household management binders from her, how to organize the cloth diapers that we had again. I rabbit trailed over to your podcast. So I learned about the Sunday basket there, of course, because you're always talking about it. It actually took me probably several months of listening to the podcast before I actually decided to set a Sunday basket up because I was a little skeptical. I was like, really? How could that, you know, it's just right. Too simple. Like it's just a box where you gather all of it together. I didn't know the impact then, how it could really have on my life. You know, just, it's a box and you put it,
I know,
paper in it.
It just seems so bizarre. And actually we're conducting some research studies to prove what we already know to be true is that once you send up a Sunday basket, you will gain 5 hours in your week. Like it gives you time. It just gives you so much time. And it sounds like there's no way that could be true. Like there's no way that you actually gain 5 hours from putting your papers in a box and doing them on Sunday, but you do. We're going to statistically prove it. And sometimes it's simple, but it's not necessarily easy. Like it definitely is a huge mindset shift and a recalibrating and organizing how you live your life. But once you make this change, what you get back is time. You get so much time.
Yeah, I've definitely found that to be true. I still wrestle with the idea of 5 hours, and I'm so glad that you're going to prove it with the data, because you know, I mean, there's little moments here and there. I'm sure when you add it up, it's much more significant than we even realize. But yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you have to go through it every Sunday. And I know that in the beginning, I definitely did not go through it every Sunday. So stuff was still getting missed. And I just want to encourage all your listeners out there that if they do, if they just trust the system, just work, mm-hmm. work what you've got, what you've already told them to do many times on the podcast and in the videos on the dashboard, that you just, you have to trust that it's going mm-hmm. to work, and that you, if you do it every Sunday, you're going to get that time back and you're going to be able to do more big rocks in your life. You're going to be able to, you know, focus on the really important, and then all the rest can fall away and you'll just have a much more meaningful life. I'm such a big believer in the Sunday basket.
Obviously, we could just put Holly on a billboard and for the Sunday basket. You're just such a great proponent of it. All right. So you started getting organized. You did papers first, obviously. When was the first time that you noticed something was organized that had not been organized before?
Yeah, so that goes back to the papers as well. So when I finally had the command over our incoming papers, mm-hmm. that really encouraged me to go back and look at our archival stuff, like all the mm-hmm. stuff that had been thrown in bags and boxes in storage. You know, there was just like, you know, I had no idea what was in those bags and boxes. It was just piles of mail. You never know what you're going to find. And of course I found like our birth certificates. I have all of that, like, you know, just those really important things that we don't want to lose. So you just never know until you look at the piles, what's in there. So that was kind of the first time that I noticed something was organized, because I actually could find those important things, and it wasn't buried in all this unnecessary stuff that we ended up just throwing away, like bank statements and credit card statements and just all of those things. Like, yeah, there were tons of utility bills. I don't even know how many I looked at when going through the process of sorting stuff, but yeah, it's the important stuff is there and all of the rest is gone, and I love that.
Yeah, and it's such a bummer, because you are not alone. Like, almost every single person listening to this podcast, that's exactly where their papers are. They aren't even in filing cabinets. I say ditch your filing cabinets and create binders. And people are like, if I only had it in a filing cabinet. Like, it's literally in random boxes and bags shoved in the basement or the laundry room or storage. Like, or I'm paying for storage for paper. Like, I don't even know where it is. Like, I don't even know where my papers are. And that's the thing. Your social security card and birth certificate are in there somewhere, but 85% of it is total trash. And so you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to spend so much time going through all this paper just to find the few pieces that are important that do need to go in binders. But when you're done, like, it's such a looming project, but once the project is done, the relief is immeasurable. Like, you just feel like a boss. Like, you know where all of your paper is, and test me. I'll find the social security card. I'll find the insurance paper. Like, I know exactly where it is. It feels so great to have that, but you're like, oh my gosh, I do not want to take my precious time to go through bags and boxes of mostly trash. Like, it's there's so much mental and motivation you have to conjure up to dive in. But then once you're in there and you're doing the big paper puzzle, you feel so confident at the other side. It's just getting it to be at the top of your to-do list, which it's so hard to make something so mundane end up at the top mm-hmm. of your to-do list.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same way. And the thing that got me through that initial, like, oh gosh, do I have the energy, time, and mm-hmm. motivation to do this? I listened to your podcast while doing it. I just sat there listening to any old podcast that you had, like, you know, you had some of your 40-week, one-whole house podcast episodes that were about, like, organizing the storage room or the kitchen or whatever, and I could be just sitting there listening to that, changing my mindset at the same time as just going through the papers, mm-hmm. and it was like I wasn't even doing anything with the papers. It was just something to keep my hands busy.
Yeah. So. Do you remember how long that took to go through all those bags and boxes?
Mm. That's a good question. I don't quite remember. I think it probably was a process of doing that little by little over a month or so.
Okay. About a month to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
And then I know you shared publicly before that you helped your grandmother do the same thing, right? You went through grandma's paper.
Yes.
How long did it take you, and what was the process you went through by going through her papers?
Well, so the biggest priority in the last couple of years of her life was just to keep her up with, like, when she had doctor's appointments and active stuff. All of the Sunday basket stuff, I helped her build her own Sunday basket with slash pockets and everything. And we went through her weekly to-do list. I would come over on Sundays and we would do her Sunday basket. That sometimes took precedence over my own Sunday basket. So meanwhile, my stuff is at home, like waiting or whatever. So I really wanted to spend that time with her. Mm-hmm. She was really struggling. She had always been, a boss lady at home. She was the mother of five children, and she had seven grandchildren, and she would provide for everybody all the time, just thinking of other people and doing all the cooking and cleaning and everything for the household. So I really looked up to her. I don't know, I could never be, the kind of woman that she was. So she and I were very close, and now I'm getting choked up a little bit.
I know. If I mentioned grandma's, it's going to be dicey. Did you end up going through her filing cabinets? Did she have other paper or did she not have other paper?
So she definitely had a lot of other paper, and none of the paper that my grandpa had saved. So he passed away in 2011. None of that paper had ever been gone through until I went through every single piece of paper in their house. Yeah. It wasn't until after she passed away that we went through all of their filing cabinet stuff. And most of it was just trash because it wasn't relevant. Right. Most of it wasn't relevant anymore. A lot of it had to do with my grandpa's business, but my grandma had saved pretty much every single paper that ever came into her household before I started the Sunday basket with her. So lots of junk mail, solicitations for donations that she never ended up acting on. But then she had quite a bit of paper that was the last 7 years of tax documentation that was substantiating or whatever. So I saved all of that, and that's just in a single file drawer in my house right now. So that's pretty much all that was saved. And the information that my dad needed to settle the estate, that's the only stuff that was saved.
And do you remember how long it took you to go through all of that paper?
Well, we had to sell the house and get everything out of the house, and I didn't want that project to be lingering for very long. So with all of my time commitments and everything, I got it done in probably 2 to 3 weeks or so. I have a lot more practice organizing papers now.
Yeah, yes.
And it's just like an hour here and there, after work.
The skill. So I remember when my grandmother passed away 3 years ago, and I went up, she's very, German, very organized. My family is very organized, and she had all of her papers were in files and they were labeled and everything was categorized, but she had like four full file drawers of paper, and they were important to her, but they weren't important to everyone else. And my mom is an artist. So of the organization gene, it skipped her generation. I mean, she is organized, but not like grandma and I. Grandma and I are very meticulously organized. And I said, Mom, how can I help? And she said, just do the paper. And so it did take me about 5 or 6 hours to go through all of those files while I was up there that weekend. And I would say Emily helped a couple hours, and then my mom had to make about 90 minutes worth of decisions. So just even that organized, streamlined filing system still took us probably 9 hours to go through when there were so many other things to do that still had to be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's the organizing of the paper. So along the way, Holly, anything unexpected happened to you after starting to organize your paper at home?
Yep, I started my own organizing business. After getting my stuff organized, I felt so encouraged, and I don't even know how it happened. I think I was just Googling or in my podcast app, I was searching Lisa Woodruff to see what else you had out there. And of course, you had a whole podcast dedicated to helping women start their own professional organizing business. And I think I was just curious. I was like, okay, what does she have to say about that? I'm interested in finding out about that. I had no intention of starting my own business at all. Like, I just never pictured myself an entrepreneur or business owner. So it was quite interesting how, like, I was listening to this podcast and I just couldn't stop thinking about it. Like, it was in my head all the time. Like, your words about, like, you can do it. You can, you know, like, you can get organized and you can start your business too. And you know, I just listened to that and then I couldn't stop thinking about it. So I had to follow that, you know, I had to follow what my heart was telling me to do. It's pretty interesting how that occurred. Like I said, in a million years, I would have never thought that I would have started a business, but I love doing it. You know, it just, even just one woman that sends me a thank you note in an email or just in person, you know, like how much, just a couple hours of spending time with me going through their stuff with me, like they just are so thankful. And I can't even put it into words, like how it makes me feel to help somebody in that way. So I love it so much.
Yeah, I think that once you have the transformation yourself and you realize that you don't have to be drowning in papers and to-dos and feel out of control and like you don't know what's coming next, you're like, okay, I want other people to feel this way. Like, you don't have to create Organize 365, but you know, a couple times a month, you can go help someone get organized. You can have a couple paper organizing retreats per year, which is going to help people that live closer to you and live nowhere near Cincinnati. Do that as well. So the name of that podcast is called Professional Organizers Think Tank. And there is a Facebook group, spelled wrong, that goes along with that podcast too. I don't think people realize, if you search Professional Organizers Think Tank in Facebook, it will come up. But if you really take a look at it, I spelled it wrong, which is how you know I actually set it up. Because if it's spelled wrong, I probably did it. And I started that podcast right when I started Organize 365 because I love being a business owner. I love empowering people to start their own businesses. And also, I wanted to focus on helping people get their homes organized. And whenever anybody would ask me a question about becoming a professional organizer, I would stop and answer that question. I was like, oh, I could just create a whole podcast, and we have a START program. So if you want to become a professional organizer, we have a START program you can do that walks you through that as well, which I think you've done. Haven't you, Holly?
I didn't do the START program because I had already started my business before you came out with that. But I've definitely gone to several of your boot camp events that you used to have, which definitely helped me start that business and really get my feet off the ground with that.
Yeah, it's so hard. Like, as you're saying it, I was like, oh, I want to have another one of those. And I'm sure some people are listening going, oh, I wish she was still doing one of those. It is so hard growing a business, especially when you have multiple different audiences. So obviously people listening who are getting their home and paper organized, but then there are a lot of certified organizers or professional organizers or people who want to be professional organizers following Organize 365. And I can do that too, but I'm trying to stay in my lane. Everything in 2020 and early 2021 is about the book, The Paper Organizing Solution, coming August 4th, and the book tour. Holly is on the short list for the book tour when we figure out what cities we're going to.
Yay. That's one of my big rocks, Lisa.
Oh, is the book tour?
Yes.
Is getting me out there? Well, don't worry. Everybody on the team is like, well, you're going to go see Holly, right? Like, Holly comes to everything in Cincinnati. You're going to go see Holly, right? So don't worry. The whole team is well aware. We just have to know which city you're living in at the time. It's either going to be Portland or Seattle. We're not sure. It's going to be one of those two. But yeah, I haven't been to either of those states. So I would love to come out. Greg's best friend lives in Seattle. So best man in our wedding. It lives in Seattle. So chances are getting higher for you, Holly.
That's
I haven't
great.
Announced any cities, but I am publicly saying that this one is on the short list. That's as far as I can get for commitment.
I love that.
Okay, so what do you feel like you have more of now?
I have more space in my brain for creativity now. Mm-hmm. And the professional organizing business is my primary outlet for creativity. Just finding solutions to people's problems. Mm-hmm. I love doing that. And it's really great to, like you said, teach people to have the same feeling of accomplishment as I have, and like feeling of control and having more command over how my life is going. So being more intentional, and I think it all goes together with decluttering the to-dos off my mind, out of my brain and into the Sunday basket. Like it does free up a lot of my brain space for that creativity.
And we hear that over and over and over again. Like, can you think back to when you're that mom in the break room pumping and listening and thinking about tackling your paper? Can you feel how your brain felt back then?
Yeah, super foggy and sleep deprived.
Okay, other than that. Yeah, I was exhausted. For 2 years, I was exhausted. But like, just like you were searching for, what do I do with cloth diapers? What do I do with this? What do I do with that? Mm-hmm. It almost sounds like anxious.
Yeah, anxious. There's a lot to think about all the time. I mean, I still get that. Mm-hmm. I still get where my brain is like spinning with all of the things. But I like having a place to dump that stuff, you know? That is actually how I use my Sunday basket, is I use the index cards. I put down my thoughts onto index cards and just put them in the Sunday basket. And that just doing that frees up my brain. Like, mm-hmm. all those little things, like, oh, I need to log into that website and send a message to my financial institution. Oh, I need to put that in the budget. Oh, I need to decide on what kind of item that I'm going to get, you know, like just all of those nitpicky little things that they really add up and weigh mm-hmm. on me. So yeah, I, thinking back to that before I had gotten to the place where I am now, like, I just remember really having a feeling of nothing was in control. Like, if I couldn't find my son's information that I needed to get his birth certificate, like, that was, yeah. That was the first time I was like, okay, something needs to change. It's night and day from then, like, so it's hard for me to even remember how it felt. But yeah, I just have a lot less in my brain at any one time so that I can focus on the really important things.
And you often say that getting organized helped you feel in control. Would you say that it has also helped you be more confident as a mother? Like, getting organized doesn't change your mothering, but being able to get the paper when you need to get the birth certificate shows other people. You feel more in control, but I think the outward expression of that is that you act and feel more confident in your parenting.
Oh yeah, for sure. I'm walking around feeling a lot more confident now.
Yes.
You know, if I have less in my brain, cause I'm trying, if I didn't have those index cards and being able to put them in the Sunday basket, I would be walking around with all these to-dos that are stuck in my head, and I wouldn't have been able to be present with Dimitri right. and Artur. Like, I can actually have conversations with my family without worrying about what's lingering around that I'm not doing. Like, once I'm confident in the fact that I don't have to do something else right now, I can be much more present and actually have conversations with my family and be confident that I shouldn't be doing something else right now.
I would say the same thing. If I had to pick one word for 2019, it would have been present. In every team meeting, in every friend interaction and any family interaction when I was doing whatever I was doing in the business. I feel like I am always present now and I'm never scattered anymore. Like I'm not thinking, oh, did I do that? Or, oh, I need to do that next. Or like this pressured feeling that I used to feel like where there was so much to do. I feel like I'm just present and I don't worry about anything else on my calendar. And then when I'm done with that person or that interaction or that task, I then go back to my scheduled calendar, which is all planned out. And I'm like, okay, now I'm going to be present in this thing next and this thing next and this thing next. And like in my own life last week, I had way too many things on the calendar and I went from thing to thing to thing. And I loved it because I was super productive, but I was exhausted and I took 4 naps and I haven't taken naps like all year long, which is fine. There's nothing against naps, but I was like, okay, 2 scheduled. Then I was like, all right, when I did my Sunday basket time, I was like, okay, that's too many things. I now know my threshold for meetings is X, not Y. And I need to schedule in some self-care time or it's okay to have downtime. And here's what that's going to look like. I love that you could do whatever you want. And then every week you get to reevaluate, like kind of like say, oh, what worked, what didn't work. Okay. And how am I going to set up the next week and make just teeny tiny improvements along the way to get more and more productive? Do you do the same thing?
I do. Yes, definitely. Self-care is so important. Like It's way more important than I thought it was.
Yeah.
Now that I have taken big strides in my own self-care and what does that look like? I know now that it doesn't have to look like the same thing every month. It doesn't have to be a massage every month. It doesn't, you know, it could just be as simple as just sitting alone for a few minutes, you know, it could be taking a shower, and just letting my mind run, like with all the things that have already happened, you know, like reflecting more, time to write stuff down, write my thoughts and feelings down. It doesn't have to be something that is a whole ordeal to get to, you know, who's going to drive, what time can that fit in the calendar? Like it shouldn't have to be that hard for us to get our self-care in.
Yeah. And I view self-care the same way. Like I was stacking my meetings back to back to back, which I love for productivity's sake. But what I had not realized until I actually did that was the 10 to 15 minutes in between each meeting, I actually process and write down what happened in that meeting and send a quick email. And so when that time was gone, then at the end of the day, all my thoughts were jumbled again and I didn't know what to do next. And I actually don't take a lunch hour or a lunch half hour or a lunch anything. So those, you know, 5 to 15 minutes in between each activity that I have are like little mini breaks all day long, which add up to what a normal person would take for like a lunch hour. And I'm just looking at lately, I have not been good at lunch because we don't have great food in the house and I don't have that space in my calendar to run out and get a salad, or I haven't been planning very well or ordering any food in the house. And so one of my new goals is going to be lunch has to be planned the day before and whatever it is has to be in the house so that I don't lose productivity and thinking time to like, when am I going to be fed? How am I going to eat? Or some days I just went without eating, which wasn't terrible. I mean, I could lose a few pounds, but it wasn't optimal either. Like it's not great for my productivity or my health. So yeah, it was awesome.
So you're planning now as your future self-care.
Yes.
Because you're making sure that your future self is taken care of by getting fed. Yeah.
Yes. And just in general, like, in 2020, my goal is my health and wellness, both because I'm getting older and, you know, going to the happy hormone cottage and all that kind of stuff, but also because I want to be able to really maximize the book tour and take advantage of every opportunity that's going to come with traditionally publishing a book. And the only way to do that is if you're healthy and also know what foods fuel you. Like I'm not on a specific meal plan, but there are certain foods that make me feel tired that don't make other people feel tired. And I found that when I'm traveling, this is so weird. I normally drink coffee and water, but when I'm traveling, I almost always have orange juice for breakfast. And that helps me, like that extra, I don't know what it is in orange juice. I know there's a ton of sugar, but there's other stuff in orange juice that really helps me when I'm traveling in the morning. I would never drink orange juice at home. It's just, you know, figuring out what is best for my body. That's what I'm figuring out in early 2020. So I could continue to do that second half of 2020 and the first part of 2021. And that it's okay to schedule time for that and to think about that and try new foods. And okay, well, how long does it take to prepare that? And that can go into my workday.
That's great. I can't wait to follow along. I'm sure you'll be podcasting about that, right?
Of course, I'll be podcasting and for sure Instagramming about that. You know, yeah. I keep nothing to myself. As my dad always said, some things, Lisa, you can keep to yourself. But apparently, I never learned that rule. Okay, so Holly, is there anything that you wish you had known sooner?
Yeah, so I learned while starting my business and following you that teaching actually was one of my passions. Mm. I didn't know how good it would feel to actually teach somebody the skills of organizing, and I can see why you do it because it's so addictive. Like, I love that feeling.
So awesome.
It's awesome. Yeah. I didn't consider myself a teacher before, but while I was doing the teaching of the Sunday basket workshops, that was also the time that I was doing more training at work at my company that I work for. And so I went with it. I was like, okay, I'm a teacher now. I know how to teach. So I really went all into that. And I love, you know, inserting more of that into my work day. I love teaching. It's fun.
It's so fun. And I think I love teaching because you start to understand whatever you're teaching about, the material that you're teaching about, at a deeper yes. level than when you actually learn
Definitely.
It. But my favorite part of teaching, and I think this is what you're alluding to as well, is to physically watch the transformation before you, which is why I'm enjoying this interview mm-hmm. so much, because I feel like I know you so well, Holly. And the transformation of you over the last couple of years is amazing. And all the Sunday Basket sisters would say the same, like just watching you be so open to trying new things in your business and really investing in yourself and reorganizing your schedule to make things work has been so much fun to watch. Like, it is more enjoyable for me to see the same people emailing questions in for the Facebook Live for the 100-day program and watching their transformation, watching their questions change as you know they are getting more organized at home and taking ownership of their life and now becoming productive and now starting their own businesses or going back to work or whatever they're doing. It's like, I want to say joy, which is kind of weird, but just it's amazing to be a part of it. Like, it's yeah. just so awe-inspiring to me that I could be even a tiny part of the way people get transformed as they get organized. It's just amazing the amount of time and clarity and focus and control you get from taking ownership of your life, which is what you do with any of the Organized 365 products. And I know it works, but then when it works, it kind of boggles even me. I'm like, oh my gosh, like it's really working for everyone. It's amazing.
Yeah, totally. And I also wish that I would have known sooner that we should give ourselves grace.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing that message from you over and over again, like it gets deeper and deeper every time. But yes, it is so true that we need to give ourselves grace, like just, and give ourselves a chance to breathe as well.
Yes.
You know, I always forget to breathe, but when I think of that phrase, give yourself grace, that triggers me to give myself time to breathe. And I really need that.
I don't think we can really get to that present state without giving ourselves and others grace. Because even if you get totally organized and you have all your to-dos done, if you don't internalize the message of giving yourself and other people grace and giving up the whole goal that there is any such thing as perfection, then you can't be fully present with people because there's always another thing to do because you haven't achieved perfection yet. So I do think that it's so funny because as you're teaching, you don't really know what you're teaching. Like, I think I'm teaching you how to get organized. That's totally not what I've been teaching all of these years. I've been teaching how to give yourself grace, how to prioritize, how to hire help without guilt. Like, those are the things I've been teaching. but I've been focusing on how to get organized. And if you follow anybody and you watch as they develop their systems and programs, there are messages that they share that they don't even realize they're sharing. And then like for the first, whatever, 3 years of doing my business, I didn't realize I was teaching the Sunday basket. Once I realized the Sunday basket was the thing, then I doubled down on that. So as you are growing and developing and going into your own passions, know that what you think you're teaching may not be ultimately what you're uniquely called to bring out into the world, and just be open for it might be something different than you thought it was.
Yeah, definitely.
So what is your next step now, Holly?
Well, so at the time I filled out your form, I had just, with my husband, signed our living wills and trusts. So we're still waiting on the final copies from that, but our next step is to, you know, make sure that everything is in the trust that we have, and making sure that our assigned people that are going to be our, you know, executors and et cetera, making sure that everybody has copies that need copies of that. Yeah, I mean, that is such a huge weight off of me, because I believe that I have been planning on doing that for the past 4 years. Right. So just to have finally taken the step of doing that, it took a lot of motivation, but it really actually wasn't that much actual work to do it. Like, I procrastinated so much. I had it on my list. Like, as I was doing, setting up my Sunday basket 2.0 stuff, like, how many years ago was that? 3 years ago? 2 years, maybe 2.5 years ago. Anyway, I had my 2.0 Sunday basket that had the word estate labeled on it, and I literally did nothing with that for 2 years. So just to have finally, you know, actually done it, like, feels so good, because that pocket will no longer have to be there anymore. That'll be really nice. Like, it's not very often that I declutter a slash pocket label, because I like to be efficient and use the labels that are going to be there for a long time.
Yes.
So it'll just be nice to delete that one when it's really all the way done.
That is awesome. All right. And as we go, what advice would you give to someone who's just starting out?
Oh yeah. So a practical tip would be to just schedule your donation pickup for a certain day and time on your calendar, just because, you know, you can't organize without decluttering first. So if you have a lot of stuff, like I did when my son was small, just schedule that donation pickup, because then you have a deadline, you have outer accountability, then you can just get rid of it all. Like, there won't be any barriers to that once that donation schedule is, you know, that's on the calendar. So that would be my practical tip for you.
I love that. So, and I've never given that tip. So who comes to the house and will pick up the donations?
Oh, so we have a couple in our city. I believe the vets, Vietnam vets, I believe, they pick up. I'm blanking on others, but yeah, it's a huge resource to be able to just set things out on the curb, or set things out aside. You know that you're getting rid of it on a certain date, then you can just accumulate all the things in the same area that you want to get rid of.
Yeah, I think especially for those of you that are doing the 100-day home organization program or who've just signed up, like, you should do that, like, the whole first 100 days. And then even if you don't get to everything in the 100 days, if you just keep decluttering every single, is it every week? Do they come every week, Holly?
Well, I think you can, there's a lot of times available that you can just go on their website or call them and have them come. Yeah.
I
know. I'm sorry.
Hold you accountable.
It's probably not in every area, not in every state.
I think EMVETS, I know you can get it local here in Cincinnati. I know you could do pickups. And I don't know why I didn't just schedule that. I think because the Goodwill is so close that I would just put it in the car and drive it right there.
I have one nearby too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So either way, whether you're going to drive it or have it picked up, put it on your calendar every week for the first quarter and really focus on decluttering. That is a great step one. I love it. Well, Holly, we have really enjoyed having you on the podcast. Where can everybody go to find you? I know they could just go to organize365.com/events. Your paper organizing retreat is right there.
Yeah, so it's I have a website, haporganizing.com, haporganizing. And then I am HAP Organizing Solutions on Facebook and Instagram.
Awesome. So. Thank you, Holly.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
Are you loving these new podcasts? Oh my gosh, I could talk to you guys forever. And I love talking to you actually in person. If you have a story and you would love to share it on the podcast, just go to organize365.com/Wednesday to apply.